Howard Schultz would not even win a city council seat in Seattle, let alone on a national basis. And there were several things that actually struck me here. We're based here in Seattle. We're part of the coastal elite, if you will, or however you want to call it. And I think Howard Schultz is a product of that. This next presidential election is not going to be won by people who represent the coasts.
Hey, welcome to GeekWire, everybody. It's Todd Bishop, GeekWire editor.
And I'm John Cook, GeekWire co-founder.
You know, when you say that, it makes it sound like I'm not one of the co-founders.
That's right. Too. You are. What else should I call myself? I don't know.
We got to come up with something better.
All right. You're kind of Grand Czar.
You're the publisher in many ways. You're the all publisher. Anyway, okay. John's here. John's here. It's like old times. It's just the two of us.
Let's jump in.
All right. So we are going to be talking about Howard Schultz this week. We'll be talking about the Super Bowl and pretty funny ad, actually, almost like a self-effacing ad, very uncharacteristically, that Amazon is apparently airing.
They can be clever.
But usually they're, at any rate, we'll talk about it later. And the Zillow Prize, the Zestimate, has been bested. I got to come up with a rhyme there somehow. At any rate, lots of stuff to talk about on this episode of the GeekWire podcast. Before we jump in, just a quick reminder, the GeekWire Bash coming up March 7th in Seattle. This is our giant geek festival.
That's right. Ping pong, dodgeball, VR, robots, zip line. It's going to be a lot of fun. March 7th, come out, bring the whole family. Tickets on sale at geekwire.com/bash.
GeekWire Bash, March 7th in Seattle. All ages for the first time. It's a blast. We'll see you there. Okay. Howard Schultz. John.
Persona non grata.
When you heard the news,
Seattle for a long time, and now it seems like perhaps across the country.
We'll see. So, for people who might have missed this, Howard Schultz, the former Starbucks CEO, says that he's considering running for president. Why do they have to do these multi-stage rollouts?
I got to test the market.
Okay.
Yeah. And he's got to sell some books.
Exactly. That's right. One of the best tweets that I saw.
He's hurting for cash.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. The book is called From the Ground Up, and somebody said, clearly, it should have been called From the Grounds Up.
That sounds kind of gross.
Maybe that's the problem. Yeah. At any rate, John, you had a very specific reaction when you heard the news that Howard Schultz was considering running for president.
Well, first off, this isn't a big surprise. He's just formally coming out now and saying that he might be considering.
No, he is considering.
He's considering.
He might be running.
Correct. I'm from a couple schools of thought on this. It's a democracy. Anybody should be able to throw his or her hat into the ring if they feel compelled to go and compete for the presidency. So, Howard Schultz, more power to him to launch in there and see what he can do. That said, I mean, if you want to get into the personal politics of it, Howard Schultz would not even win a city council seat in Seattle, let alone on a national basis. And there were several things that actually struck me here. You know, we're based here in Seattle. We're part of the coastal elite, if you will, or however you want to call it. You know, and I think Howard Schultz is a product of that. Born in New York, grew up in New York, has lived much of his adult professional life in Seattle. He's a product of the coasts. And my personal opinion is this next presidential election is not going to be won by people who represent the coasts. It's going to be the heartland, my home state of Ohio. It's going to be people that can identify with the problems of people in Ohio and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and Indiana and Iowa and the upper Midwest. If you want to win the presidency, those are the people that you need to convince. And I don't think Howard Schultz is that person, but maybe he obviously believes he is.
He believes that he can not only win it, or at least contend, but do it as an independent. And it was interesting, Jay Inslee, the other person from Washington State who's considering a
run. The
other
person who happens to be the governor of Washington State.
Exactly.
Yes.
Right. He came out and said that was reckless of Howard Schultz.
See, I disagree with that. I mean, I think it's a democracy and there's no reason that we have to have these two gangs of Republicans and Democrats as the only people that are competing for this office. Now, do I think it would potentially screw things up for the Democrats? Yes. Do I think that's a problem given the current political situation we have? Yes. But I mean, it's right. I don't think there's any reason why Howard Schultz shouldn't be able to do this. Now, some may say he can only do it and only run because he's been able to amass this massive fortune that allows him to do it. Not no ordinary Joe or Jane can go out and decide they're going to be an independent candidate and actually have a chance of winning.
What do you think of the fact that it's Inslee and Schultz, of all the people who could be running from Washington State?
Yeah, why'd you get me going on this? Because this was we were talking on our Slack a little bit about this, and this was actually a column idea that I threw out there, was with all the great people from Washington State, and there are many, why do we have these two that are potentially representing
What's your problem with these?
Well, I mean, they're both... I think they're genuinely decent people, but they're not my first choice of people who I would like to see step up and serve our country and lead us out of the morass we are in.
So let's be positive then. Who would you?
I've said it all along. I love Brad Smith, the president of Microsoft. I think the guy is super sharp. I love the way he communicates. I like his positions on things. He is kind of a centrist, but I mean, frankly, somebody like that, I think I would get excited about.
I will say, and you pointed this out, John, that Howard Schultz's response to Scott Pelley about Donald Trump saved him in some ways. Let's listen to that.
I think, like most people, I've become bored with President Trump and his tweets.
All right. So that's got to be one of the best zingers that you've
heard. I thought he did well. I mean, I thought he did well in the interview. He's written a recent editorial in the Seattle Times where he essentially apologized to the city.
That was in the book. That was in the book.
Yeah.
And for losing the Sonics.
Yeah. And which is why many people don't like Howard Schultz in Seattle. And I think he's admitting finally that I think he mishandled the situation, but it's taken how many years now? But yeah, I thought that moment was enlightening. And I think there is something to run on that debate. Like, hey, rise above this clutter. There are two schools of thought, I think, here on how you go after Donald Trump. One is you take the high road and one is you take the low road. I think the Democratic Party is probably going to go on the low road in terms of trying to really battle and fight against Trump in a very major way. I appreciate the idea of going to the high road that I'm going to ignore it and the country is tired of hearing about the tweets. I agree with that to some degree. That said, the tweets aren't going away and they are going to stay in the mindset of people. And that is going to drive discourse and discussion.
And I will say my one lesson from the Jeff Bezos divorce was
I'm really interested where you're going with this. This was an interesting segue.
Don't mess with Donald Trump.
Oh, geez.
You've got skeletons in your closet.
Oh, boy.
I don't know if any of these candidates do, but it is.
He does have essentially, I guess you could call them media companies in cahoots with him.
Yeah. And
to some degree, I mean, it's kind of scary and irresponsible, frankly.
Well, if you look at that and there's no direct proof, which is the way these things work, but there's no direct proof. But gosh, it is not a stretch to look at what happened with the National Enquirer following Jeff Bezos around for 4 months and discovering his affair in the process, his alleged affair or whatever it was. Gosh, I probably shouldn't have gone here. But anyway, and to draw a line to the tactics that Trump has been known to take. I mean, that is classic New York. I'm going after you because you went after me. And or at least my friends are on my behalf.
This is kind of a sad discussion, so we're probably ready to move on.
Is it?
But, I mean, there are some serious things that the country should be thinking about as it relates to innovation and keeping
there
up
you go.
And the economy. And, like, things that really matter that could help drive the country. I mean, you think about what China's doing with their investments in AI. I mean, the United States has been a leader with this innovation and technology and I think could continue to be. But in our current state of affairs and how we are thinking about the world, we're going to get surpassed by other entities that are going to press forward because we're stuck in these silly squabbles with a government that can't even operate for 30 days.
Well, one interesting thing is that Howard Schultz is focusing heavily on the budget deficit in terms of long-term American competitiveness, which that is a fascinating battle to pick because it might be the wise thing, and I think it's probably indisputable that it's the wise thing long term to get the debt under control by narrowing the annual budget deficit. But wow, that raises all sorts of issues about entitlements and Social Security and Medicare. And wow, it's just, it's such an interesting position to stake out. Yeah, you're right. This is goes into some really bad holes here, but it's going to be fascinating to see, can either of these candidates from Washington State break into the national discourse? Obviously, Howard Schultz at least is embarking on a very fascinating book tour. And with that, we're going to be back in just a moment to talk about some more substantive tech issues. Let's get into it. Right around the corner, you're listening to GeekWire.
I wanted a career in IT, but I didn't know where to start. WGU makes it simple. Their accredited online degree programs cover all kinds of IT specialties, and they have valuable industry certifications built in at no extra cost. The payoff? Having those certs back up my degree makes me look even better to future employers. A nonprofit university that includes top industry certs in their programs? I choose WGU. Learn more at wgu.edu/IT certs included.
All right, welcome back to GeekWire. It's Todd Bishop.
And John Cook.
All right, so it's good to have you here, John. Let's talk a little bit about the Zillow Prize, because this is, I'm talking about nitty-gritty computer science. This is
absolutely,
an algorithm that really relates to a lot of people's lives. So,
which a lot of people don't like.
Right. So the Zestimate. We actually talked with Rich Barton and Lloyd Frink, two of the founders of Zillow, on a past podcast about the Zestimate, which is this algorithm created by their chief economist, Stan Humphries, back in the day, that basically estimates the value of your home. And its accuracy over the years has been the subject of much debate.
Right. You know, Zillow really came to prominence, and we were one of the first reporters ever to cover Zillow.
I think you were the first.
Yeah.
The royal we, meaning John Cook, got the scoop.
Well, no.
I'm serious.
Collectively. Hey, man, we do this together. I couldn't have done it without your support. But it's interesting to see how it has evolved and how Zillow as a company has evolved. Because when Zillow started, you got to remember, their gimmick, if you were, was the Zestimate. It was this automated home valuation tool that they came out with that they said they could predict with a certain amount of accuracy your home value. And really, this was Zillow's special sauce from day one that got a lot of people engaged in talking about the company. And you got to wonder, if they didn't have the Zestimate off the bat, would they be where they are today? Probably not.
No. And to me, one of the most fascinating things with measures like this, with algorithms and estimates, is when they're wrong, they're actually effective for the company, because there's a fine line between love and hate. And at least people are passionate about
this. They're at least talking about
exactly.
It. They're at least talking about how wrong you are. But
exactly.
And Zillow, to its credit, from very early on said, oh, hey, you know, it's just an algorithm. We never said this was, you know.
For real, your
evaluation.
For real.
You know, this is to give you a ballpark of where things are at. So over the years, they have had different Zestimates for different markets, depending upon how much data they could collect in Cincinnati versus Seattle. And so the Zestimate stood at about 4.5% was the margin of error
exactly.
Nationally, correct?
Exactly.
And so they put out a competition to try to reduce that margin of error by a percent or two or however much they could in order to improve the accuracy of their valuations of homes throughout the country.
That's right.
And it was what, $1 million prize?
That's right.
It's
the Zillow Prize, $1 million. The winners were announced this past week. They're a team from the United States, Morocco, Canada, three people who teamed up and they were able to.
And very hardcore computer science. We're not just talking about, you know.
Random.
The random person in their garage who figured this out. These are serious computer scientists.
That's right. So they were able to beat Zillow's benchmark model, which measured against real-time home sales between August and October of 2018, by approximately 13%. They did that much better. And now.
And so this is basically Zillow trying to hire some talent, right? Like, how do we?
Well, and also just improve the algorithm. So they're saying that this will help push the overall Zestimate's current nationwide error rate of 4.5%, as you said, John, to below 4%. So this is pretty significant. The Zestimate applies to valuations on about 110 million homes across the U.S.
And so they're implementing their system and rolling it out?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So these folks won $1 million prize. And this is not a new trick in the tech industry.
Yeah. Yeah. Netflix, I think, was the first one that I recall that kind of pioneered this idea of doing a computer science prize to improve their algorithm. As I recall, and listeners can correct me out there, but I think it was to improve the accuracy of the recommendation engine in Netflix to show you shows that you would like based on your past viewing habits.
Yeah.
So this, and I think there was a pretty hefty prize. Gosh, it must have been 10 years ago or so. It was a while back that they had done this. So Zillow took a page out of the Netflix book. Now, as a little side history and a little bit of background, Netflix and Zillow have a little bit of common DNA. Do you know what it is?
No. I didn't.
Don't know this? Rich Barton, the co-founder of Zillow, is on the board of Netflix. So I guess he had every right to plagiarize the idea.
Yeah, I just found it. The Netflix prize sought to substantially improve the algorithm, the accuracy of predictions about how much someone is going to enjoy a movie based on their movie preferences.
Right. How long ago was it?
2009.
Hey, I said about 10 years ago. Not bad.
And it was a $1 million grand prize. So clearly inflation does not apply to this.
That's right. Well, $1 million just sounds cool. Yeah, well, geez, congrats to I thought it was pretty cool. Kurt Schlosser's story on this for GeekWire was pretty fun, talking about some of the background at how these computer science gurus were really, really working it to try to solve this problem and really spent a lot of time on it.
Yes. Oh, yeah. This was a substantial amount of work for them, and they were rewarded handsomely with $1 million prize. Team Chan Gestimate, I guess is how you pronounce it. They were kind of a mashup of different competitors who realized that their algorithm would do better as
now, where else could we see some prizes in computer science for better algorithms?
Oh, well, you
the
know,
Uber prize of getting me a ride more efficiently to destination. Yeah, what else would be good?
AI. You know, if you could be smarter than a fifth grader with your AI. You know, there's all sorts of competitions out
okay.
there.
Okay. Well, so maybe we need to launch one for GeekWire.
What about the GeekWire prize?
Yeah, let's do the GeekWire prize.
What could it be?
Well, you know, we're doing the GeekWire Robotics Cup at the GeekWire Bash, which that's our big new cup. And
every opportunity.
That's for fourth to eighth graders, where they're going to be handsomely rewarded, probably not with $1 million.
I know what the prize should be. Can you come up with a robot that would do better on the podcast than the two of us?
That would be good.
The answer is yes.
Or a news algorithm.
That would write the story. This is not a good place to go. Yeah. All these segments are going into places where we don't want them to go.
I do like the idea of a GeekWire prize of some sort.
Yeah.
You know, we could spoof off Amazon as we did with GeekWire HQ 2.
Yeah.
And we have the GeekWire prize and we said, we will reward you with, you know.
Yeah. $2 and yes. a cup of coffee.
Lunch out with the GeekWire crew.
Yes. Yeah. Spend all your waking hours trying to improve some algorithm. Let's come up with something. Hey, if you have an idea for what the GeekWire prize should be.
What about improving the GeekWire 200 list?
Oh, well, that's actually a fantastic substantive idea.
Yeah.
So for folks who don't know, the GeekWire 200 is our index of the top 200 privately held technology companies in the Pacific Northwest as measured by currently, before we get the new algorithm
right.
from the GeekWire Prize, social presence, employee count, and some other web-based metrics. But that also falls into the category of it's successful in part because it's not entirely accurate. And we say up front, hey, this is our best estimate of it. And it does tend to accurately predict, just as an example, IPOs. If you look at the top of the list from the past few years.
That's true. Yes. I mean, it's largely seen which companies are growing into large entities in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well,
all right.
Fun.
So that is the Zillow Prize. Very hotly contested, debated among various folks out there. But before we get to our next segment, I want to talk about the Super Bowl, John.
Okay. Are you going to watch Sunday?
I am going to watch. In fact,
I'm going to have a chili cook-off, I think, because
you're having a party? I was going to invite you to my party.
Were you?
You didn't invite me to your party.
Well, we're just doing a small thing. Sorry. It's just for real close type friends. Sorry. I think there are going to be about 320 people over at the house, but maybe next year.
You do invite me to your holiday party, so I'll take that. Okay. And I never go because I'm always out of town. Okay. Maybe that's why you invite me, because you know that I'm traveling for the holidays.
You're off the list.
I am planning to watch the Super Bowl. I'm going to have a few folks over.
I am really not interested in the game. I do like the commercials.
Yes. Speaking of which, we have a preview of one that Amazon is going to be showing in some form in conjunction with the game. Here it is.
That's a reheat pasta.
Reheating pasta.
It's cool, right?
Yeah, I didn't know you guys put Alexa in a microwave.
Yeah, we're putting her in a lot of stuff now. But trust me, there are a lot of fails.
Like what?
We made an Alexa dog collar. Four dogs.
Ordering dog food. Ordering dog food.
You can bark all you want. I'm not paying for any more dog food.
Ordering gravy. Ordering sausages.
Hey, you better cancel that order.
Alexa hot tub? A sucked.
Alexa, play music.
Okay.
All right, the thing I appreciated about that was it was somewhat self-effacing of Amazon to make fun of the fact that Alexa kind of can go wrong at times.
And it's everywhere.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, she, it or she? Are you not anthropomorphizing
I guess I'm
digital?
Not. I'm sorry.
I resisted the urge for many years, and now I just go with the gender-based pronoun.
Well, I thought it was a fun ad.
It was. Ironic, too, because they cited the microwave at the beginning. And let me tell you, the Alexa microwave sucks.
That's some negative reviews of that product. That's right.
We had one in the office and everybody said...
It sucks as bad as the hot tub sucked in that
yes,
video.
Yeah. So just if people couldn't tell from that, it was everything from a dog collar to an Alexa hot tub that basically mimicked the Bellagio fountains from Las Vegas.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yes, that's okay. What that was. It was the Bellagio
was
fountains.
I thought it was a fun ad.
And it was Harrison Ford and was that a couple other actors in there? Yeah. So at any rate, lots of interesting stuff there. And at least they're able to make fun of themselves.
Absolutely. Well, we will see who the top Super Bowl ad is. I'm curious. You know, there's a Seattle area company called iSpot.tv, which is actually a great resource for tracking ads. And they have been tracking everything related to the Super Bowl. So if you want a good resource and you're really into the ads, go to iSpot.tv and check them out, because I think they do a nice job of analyzing everything you could possibly imagine about the Super Bowl ads. So yeah, that's going to be fun. So any prediction for the game? It's Patriots Rams.
Well,
East Coast, West Coast.
Let me say that the way I got my friend Jeff to come over, he's basically abandoning another party in favor of mine. And the way I did it was I told him I would root for the Patriots. So I have to root
that's
for the
gross.
Patriots, which I'm fine. I don't.
That.
Why is that gross?
I just don't like the whole franchise.
Okay. Well,
basically, there's nothing really that I like about the city they're in, the people that are involved in it, the players they have. Fact that they stole our Super Bowl away from Seattle.
Oh, that's right. Wow,
yeah,
this is
it's gonna
be
hard. I'm gonna go for the Rams, but I really don't care that much. Yeah. I am gonna watch. I do like the commercials.
Yeah. All right. So enjoy the Super Bowl, everybody, and we will be right back with the Random Channel. You're listening to The Geek Wire. It's Todd.
You're listening to The Geek Wire. You should roll with that. You're listening to The Geek Wire.
That's actually, why didn't we do that originally? It's The Geek Wire. At any rate, you're listening to The Geek Wire podcast, and we will be right back with the Random Channel. All right, welcome back. It's Todd Bishop and John Cook. It's time for the Random Channel, that moment of the week where we talk about all the random items we were buzzing about behind the scenes on Geek Wire this week. John, I got a couple things to talk about. I don't know if you've got a random channel item, but I have a couple that actually do relate to you.
okay,
one is
great. Hit me.
One is I got my new pair of Brooks this week. My new Levitate
these
2.
These are nice shoes.
And so you and I both got pairs of the original Levitates, which were these kind of cutting edge shoes that Brooks Running, the shoemaker here in Seattle, actually based right down the street, came out with, I believe last year or 2017. And John, my pair split. My pair of Levitates, my original pair, split to the point where my socks were getting wet. The soles split.
Yeah, mine did too, but I've worn the crap out of these things too. So,
yeah, I have two. Yeah. I have two, but still, I think they should have lasted longer. But at any rate, I doubled down. Jim Weber, if you're listening out there, the CEO of Brooks, I went ahead and I bought my Levitate 2s.
They're sharp looking, Todd.
I really like them.
This is the random channel?
This is my random channel.
Random channel? Okay.
Yes, it's
well, the technology in these is just superb, right?
It is. Well, yeah. They did like a partnership with BASF.
I thought you had a real random channel.
I do.
What is your Bluetooth thing?
All right,
you said
yes.
Something about
yeah.
Bluetooth. I'm sick of talking about your shoes.
Okay. But they're so, aren't they? They're so stylish,
okay.
Though.
Okay. Moving on.
All right, John, I have a problem.
A what problem?
A problem.
Okay. What kind of problem? Let me help you, Todd.
I lose so much. Currently lost in my life are my personal credit card. I lost it somewhere in your office last week, I believe, after I called in and did some kind of order. You haven't seen it, by the way, have you?
No.
My AirPods. I lose my AirPods at least twice a week.
That would be frustrating.
They are currently lost.
Ugh.
I had the worst night on Tuesday night of this week. I got home. I had my AirPods. Suddenly, they were just gone.
I worried about that when I got mine, but I've been able to be responsible enough to keep track of mine.
Yes, I have a hard time with it.
Okay.
So I just bought one of these trackers. I happened to get the Tile tracker. You know, there's all sorts of different ones out there, including one
Pebblebee
from the Seattle region that you can get at Costco and all this stuff. So, but the news this past week that I really zeroed in on for this very reason is that the Bluetooth Special Interest Group. Did you know where the Bluetooth Special Interest Group is based?
Bellevue, Washington.
Wrong.
Oh, I thought they were in Bellevue.
No, they're in Kirkland.
Oh, crap. Dang it. I'm
this
so
is a technicality.
All right.
Yeah. It's just the one thing that I love about covering tech in Seattle is there's all these things that sort of hit you like you forget about them. It's almost like Paul Allen's portfolio back in the day where it's like, oh, my God, yeah, he also invests in or tracks elephants in Africa or whatever. But there's so many different things.
What is this?
The news out of the Bluetooth Special Interest Group was the next version of Bluetooth will have directional capabilities. In other words,
like you're getting hot or cold. You're getting hotter.
No, no.
Getting hotter.
No. That's the way it is now.
Yeah,
so what they're doing is
it's
just a raw measure of signal strength to determine like how close you are to something. What they're going to be able to do is they're going to Bluetooth devices like receivers and transmitters are going to be able to tell the angle of entry of the Bluetooth signal, not just the strength of the signal, but the direction that it's entering the device.
Okay.
So you're going to be able to, through that capability, for example, on your phone, not only know that your keys that you've lost with your tracking device on them are in the vicinity and maybe send a sound to them, but you're going to be able to tell on the device the direction they're in and essentially where they are.
Wonderful.
Through that.
So you'll never lose anything again.
Well,
you'll lose it, but you'll be able to find it. Got it.
Exactly.
Got it.
So that is essentially a new capability that they're building into the Bluetooth spec, as they call it in the tech biz. And we're going to start to see, they believe, the first devices with this capability later this year in terms of the directional ability to find. The problem is Bluetooth is still relatively short range, and that's where I have a problem, because if you lose it someplace, and they've got all these networks and stuff that you can use, like people can help you find your stuff, but I don't know.
I'm glad technology's solving a real problem.
Well, it's an incremental step toward the ultimate solution, and I don't think we have the ultimate solution yet, but I'll take it for what it is, because I don't know what my problem is, but am I getting old?
You're losing your mind is what you're losing. You're not just losing your car keys. You're losing your mind.
And with that,
serious.
I think it's a great note to end this show on, because every single segment went into some dark hole.
You invited me on the show, so.
All right. Anything else you want to talk about?
I think we're good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Todd.
Absolutely. Thanks for being here. If you like the GeekWire podcast, here's the best possible thing you could do. Well, first, become a GeekWire member. Go to our events, tell your company to sponsor GeekWire. But apart from that, you could go on to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you listen, Overcast. I'm a big fan of the Overcast app, actually. Give us a rating and a review. Most people say give us a good rating, and I don't care. Just give us a rating. Tell the truth, you know? Tell the truth.
No fake news here.
Yeah, no fake news. And that's the GeekWire podcast. You can subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Also check out our other podcasts, Numbers Geek, Health Tech, and Geared Up. Until next time, I'm Todd Bishop.
And I'm John Cook.
Thanks for listening, everybody.